Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Divine Truth. Good morning to the people of God. We thank you and we honor you for being here just one more time. I'm not going to prolong the time this morning because I definitely want to get into today's teaching, which is going to be extremely important for the people of God. Amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 44. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 44. Amen. And it says in verse 41, "Now Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of a roar of a heavy shower.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel specifically, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees." He was praying. "He said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' So he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go back 7 times. So Elijah basically told his servant to go back and look at the sea 7 times. In other words, keep on going until you see something. And verse 44 goes as follows. It says, "And it came about the 7th time that he said, 'Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you.'" Hallelujah. It'll make sense in just a moment. The title of this morning's message is "Put It in the Cloud." Put it in the cloud. Father, help me now as the word goes forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. There's a little quick little, I ain't gonna mess with that right now. I'll leave it alone. In the information technology field, there's a term called the cloud, which is a unified group of computers located across the world that has resources such as storage, computing power, and memory that users can access at any time, 24/7. That's one of my specialties in my day job as a cloud architect and trainer. I'm very familiar with this technology. And even on a simpler way, if you've used Netflix, Hulu, or Dropbox, or even Google Docs, you have encountered the cloud. Biblically, however, the cloud also has a special and unique meaning throughout Scripture. First, in Genesis, we see the cloud not only as a natural phenomenon that blocked out the rays, the UV rays of the sun. It was a real blue blocker. It also left dew to water the earth. We've seen that in Genesis. But also as a theophany of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Genesis it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and it was like a firmament that hovered and covered the earth. You ever wonder why when you go outside early in the morning and it hasn't rained at all, but if you touch the grass, it's wet? It's because of dew in the morning. That reminds me of a song that we sung many years ago when we first started our ministry. "Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart." That dew in the morning, fresh dew. That's what the cloud was at the beginning of creation. But as a theophany, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the term, it's the way that God shows himself through a natural phenomenon to his people. Example, the firmament also represents the Holy Spirit. The burning bush, the fire itself, represented the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not fire, is not the cloud. It's just the way that God transformed himself in order for man to see something that he could understand. Because if God showed his true nature, of which no one has ever seen before, man would die before him because he is a holy God. So that's what a theophany is. That's what the firmament is. That's what the first cloud was. If you need another pictorial example, just think of a foggy mist early in the morning or a cloud that hovered close to the ground as you're driving to work. Next, in Exodus, God used the cloud to protect and guide the children of Israel during their time in the wilderness. Hot out there, y'all. And he did so by day. Remember, the cloud by day and by a fiery torch at night. He did so in order to guide their path and protect them from the heat and give them nourishment in the morning, but in the evening he was a fiery torch in order to shine through darkness. And finally, as we go into the topic for this morning, we see the cloud once again in 1 Kings with the adventures of the prophet Elijah, who prophesied that the region would go without rain for 3 years. My Lord, it was a drought that God said would happen on purpose. Let me give you the background. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 7, it says in verse 1, now Elijah, the Tishbite, that's his nationality, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, the wicked king who was kind of struggling at that moment in time, he said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here, after you gave that news to the king who could kill you at any moment, and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook of Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens, the crows, brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from that brook. Talk about providing in a dry place, y'all. Verse 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up. How many of y'all have had some opportunities, some jobs, some places that have dried up because there was no rain in the land? In other words, God is saying it's time for you to move on. I have a personal story about that. I remember when we were at our Loma Avenue location, and it was coming towards the end of our tenure there. We thought that we were going to stay there for an extended period of time, but God had different plans. And I was praying and crying. God, please, if it's your will, let us stay there. And then all of a sudden, one of the parishioners tried to use the bathroom, and there was no water. I was like, now you've got to be kidding me. Y'all telling me that y'all going to turn the water off on us? As a hint that we are no longer wanted here? I went to the people. I said, hey, guys, what's going on here? Why are you turning off the water? I mean, it's included within our rent. And the person was like, I don't know what happened. It's just as if the things just dried up. And it was God even telling us at that moment in time that it was time to move on, even though it was dry out there. Back to the scripture in 1 Kings 17, verse 1 through 7, the reason why God even allowed for that to happen, because some people be like, well, you know, I think that's kind of cruel for you to do that, God. Don't you see us working out here? Don't you see that it's hard? Why are you going to make me lose my job? Why are you going to make me go through a season or a wilderness experience inside of my relationship, inside of my family, where it's dry out there for such a long period of time? Why, God? Why? Well, in this specific instance, Elijah was talking to Ahab, which was a king of Israel, but he happened to be a wicked king. Amen. So the reason that God did this or sent the drought because of the years of evil that was done by the backslidden kings of Israel, as well as their unrelenting idolatry of other gods. Anything that you put first, if you put your family before God, if you put money before God, if you put what you got going on at the house before God, if you put yourself before God, if you put your spouse before God, God will withdraw himself and he will withdraw his hand from it and he will let the devil have at it. Because God always has to be number one, because he was the reason why you got it in the first place. People just don't get that, but they wonder why things just go crazy. You got to give it to God. I'm getting ahead of myself. So the reason why God sent the famine is because of their disobedience, wickedness, unrighteousness, and unrelenting idolatry of other gods, putting everything else before God. This is also a revelation for those of us who belong to him, in that there will be times when God brings famine upon the whole land. I hope you get this. Upon the whole land, affecting everyone at the same time, even those of us that serve him. Notice what happened here. He sent a famine. Now, you would think if God loves me, he wouldn't send no famine. But I'll tell you this truth. Just as God rains on the just as well as the unjust, he sends the famine for the just as well as the unjust.
Oh, it'll help you in a minute.
Let me go deeper. The famine to one person may mean judgment, but to another, it means mercy, as God will provide for his children during dry seasons. I don't even know how we made it through these many years. I don't even know how we made it through all the ups and downs. You think this is the first time, second time, third time, fifth time, 20th time that we've had problems as a church giving and serving? It's been going on for a long time because it's just the season and the time that we're in. It's hard everywhere. No matter what church that you go to, it's tough. The church could be anointed, people full of integrity, but yet people, we're in a season, just as George Orwell said, where objective truth is no longer relevant. It just depends on how you feel. That determines your truth. You hear people in the news say, what's your truth and what's your truth? And so people do what's right in their own eyes. And we're in the same season now. So God, when he's trying to get the attention of his people and the attention of the world, he sends a famine to everybody just to see how they will react. Remember, again, he rains on the just as well as the unjust. God is good to people, even though the people don't even pay attention to him at all. But sometimes God will send a test just to see how his people will react, and also to wake up those people that are not paying him any attention. There's a revelation right there. Verse Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through 2 says, "Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.' So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria." So you mean to tell me that when there's wickedness among the leaders in a land, that God ain't just going to just stand by and just watch it happen? You mean to tell me that God is just not going to let you do whatever the hand fat that you want to do and don't say anything? If he loves you, he's going to do something to you. Remember, what good is of a father that's just going to let his children run wild without any discipline? You don't love those kids if you don't discipline them at all. Giving them everything and anything that they want without any type of restraint doesn't mean that you love them anymore. It just means that you don't want to take out the time to discipline them. So God was disciplining his people, yet he was merciful. All throughout scripture, you see that the kings of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They did evil in the sight of the Lord over and over and over again. Matter of fact, none of the kings of Israel for over 400 years honored God. But yet they were his people. Only the kings of Judah honored God. Ahab happened to be one of those, you know, wicked kings. Ahab, you know, Jezebel, Ahab. Ahab represents the man that wants to be in front, that desires to be the man of the house, but doesn't say anything. In other words, Ahab enables the reckless woman.
Oh, Lord.
You want a bad boy, now you got one. He wanted to be up front. He wants to be first, but he says, "Yes, dear," resenting you the entire time. You want to be the man without any effort. So Jezebel says, "I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to put my D cups together and I'm going to run this thing." So this Ahab, Jezebel's Ahab, was a wicked king. And God was looking to see over that 3-year period if Ahab was going to turn to him, but he did not. Sometimes when times go bad, people don't turn to God. They actually turn to the devil even harder. So over those 3 years, there was no rain, no shower from heaven, and God didn't speak a whole lot. He was quiet. He was allowing for his people to go through a severe famine, a severe period of dryness, a severe time in your marriage, a severe time at the workplace, a severe time in your health. And God always wants to see if you're going to have one or two reactions. Matter of fact, have you ever prayed and asked God to move and things get worse or more severe? I know I have. God, please help us turn off the water at our last building. God, please move us to the next level. Send us a note saying that you need to move out of here in 30 days. God, please bless us. We want to have your favor, Lord. You got to be out of here. And matter of fact, the place that you're going to, you're going to have to fight even harder because it's going to cost 5 times as much as where you are with the same people who didn't give 6 months ago. God, it's funny that way. Sometimes he puts us in severe situations to test our character. But then there's some type of questions that actually come up when we begin to question God, question within ourselves. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why things are getting worse is because God forgot his promise. Is it because of that? Well, no, it's not because of that. It's because God, at that time, when you're going through a situation that is dry and hard, that's when his promise is actually magnified. I hope you got it. God didn't forget his promise to you. Matter of fact, when you're going through, that's when his promise is magnified. Oh, you didn't get it. Well, how about this question? Maybe it's because God changed his mind. Maybe that's the reason why things are getting worse. No, God is never inconsistent. We're inconsistent. He is always consistent. We lack integrity. We say, I'll see you next week, Pastor. Which I think is the number one lie told in the church. But God is not inconsistent. He embodies integrity. And I can also tell you without a shadow of a doubt that God does not change his mind. Whatever he spoke into your life, whatever promises he gave to you, it is still valid. It does not have a return receipt or a guarantee that expires after a number of years. Well, maybe it's because he's testing us. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Well, sometimes God does test us, but only to make us better and not to tease us into depression. Oh, that's a word right there. God is not trying to tease you into depression by you waiting on the promise. This word says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But God is our blessed hope, which is available at all times. It just may mean that you need to get stronger while you wait. Mm-hmm. You see all of the things that you've had to learn while you were waiting? You learn a lot about yourself when you're waiting. But God doesn't tease his people. Here's your blessing. It's like the apple at the end of the cart. You're the horse. God has the string. And he has the apple dangling in front of your face. And you keep on walking, but you never get a chance to obtain it. He doesn't do you like that. He doesn't tease his people. He's not cruel. He's not sadistic. However, for 3 years, there was no rain. Even for the people of God. That just was mind-blowing to me. Because sometimes when you believe that you have a relationship with God and because you go to church and all this and all that, you believe that there's not supposed to be any tough times within the major areas of your life. No tough times financially. God never promised that. No tough times in your relationships. God never promised that. No tough times dealing with kids. God never promised that. No tough times with your parents. God never promised that. He never promised anything. No tough times or dry seasons in church life. God never promised a job, finances, health. God never promised any of those things. Yet he still promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. That means during good times and bad. When you have the job, when you don't have the job. When y'all are speaking to each other and when y'all are sitting separate from each other. He's still God. He still loves you. He still wants you to have a relationship with him so that when the good times come, you don't disappear. So for 3 years, there was no rain, even for the people of God. And as I told you earlier, if God reigns on the just as well as the unjust, he also withholds rain on the just as well as the unjust. You missed it. If God reigns on the just as well as the unjust, he also withholds, keeps back, holds up rain on the just as well as the unjust. In other words, everybody got to go through hard times sometime, but it all depends on how you respond to it. That's the key. That's the revelation. God watches how people act when times are good and when times are bad to see what you are worshiping the most. That's why he sent the famine, because the kings were wicked and evil, and he wanted to see if they were going to turn away from the idols during the severe famine or actually embrace the idols even more. He understands his people. Some of us get worse when times get bad. Some of us stay away from church even longer. We see it with the mass exodus that happened over the last 7-8+ years after the recession. We started our ministry in the midst of the recession. And all of the nominal cultural Christians that thought, as long as I give, as long as I look good, as long as I got a Mercedes in the driveway, that must mean God is with me. But then when all those jobs were lost, all of the people were like, well, God ain't working no more. All the people that grew up in church said, I found the truth now. I found a new revelation now. I know that this Christian stuff is just not the truth anymore. I've been doing my quote unquote research. You research your way into hell. No, sir, no, ma'am. Just because you grow up in church does not mean that you're saved. By their fruit, you shall know them. By the way that you respond during tough times, shall you know them? When things ain't going right at the house, do you pray or do you cuss? I felt the cussing spirit in here. If you struggle in that particular area, I know that the Bible doesn't talk about the specific cuss words in our modern era, but bad corruption, you know, corruption in your mouth, it's not good. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to deal with the cussing Christians at another time. That's another message for another time. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 through 24, I want you to hear this morning. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? How long is it going to be before you serve God? The verse goes on to say, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, representing the devil, follow him. Do your thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell. In other words, do what you want to do. If God be God, serve him. If the devil is working for you, serve him. So you think. But the people did not answer him a word. Just like y'all quiet this morning. People got ADHD, high definition. Ain't nothing going on outside. The snack shack is pumping and going. That's fine. But that's flesh. That's meat. I want you to get the milk of the word, the meat of the word this morning. You'll be all right. Verse 22 says, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are over 450. And always going to look like, and it's always going to feel like there's more people that's doing wrong. That and it seems like they got nicer Facebook pictures than you following God. You following God and you struggling at the house and you don't post nothing online because it ain't good, nothing good. But everybody don't go to church, never, with their religious self, with their wicked self. Cognac bottles and a Mercedes in the driveway. That does something to you, don't it? A little rum and coke with a Maserati in the front yard. Gold Tifuses. Pants down on the butt. And they proposing. That's what they put on Facebook. Knight in shining armor. And you struggling, trying to come to church one more time, Lord, one more time. That's how Elijah felt. He felt like he was outnumbered. There's more people that's doing wrong and doing well than me. Verse 23 says, now let them give us two oxen and let them choose one oxen for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. In other words, God was setting the stage through his prophet Elijah to show himself strong in the midst of a dry famine. Let me make it plain. When you are waiting on God, you will be presented with two options always: to follow God or follow gods. To follow big G God or follow little G gods. To follow the God of heaven and earth or the gods that we create, the idols. People don't even understand many times that idol worship is rampant nowadays. It's even worse nowadays. You do not have to have a statue inside of your house with grapes and fruits and vegetables around it with a gold chain and bracelets and all that, and that be an idol. The idol can be sports, it can be our children, it can be time spent away from the things of God. It could even be church. You could be so into ministry and getting the work done until you forget who you're working for.
Amen. Good.
It's rampant. But I tell you that God says that he shall have no other gods before him. So if you put that idol first, then why does God have to bless it? He never will. He never will. Here's my nice little baby. Your baby, bad as I don't know what. Because you have not given them to God. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth, Christian Center with God. What's your dreams and visions realized? Verse 24 says, then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, that's a good idea. So here it is. It's a famine. Things are dry. Stuff ain't going right. It's hot outside. It's 112 degrees. All your friends are going to the beach and all this other stuff on the weekends, and they're having their best life and all this other stuff, and you sitting at the house praying. It looks like their gods are serving them well. And now you're at a decision to see which God will answer in your time of need. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, follow him. If what you got going on the weekend before God, serve that and see where it gets you. You see, people of God, when you're waiting on God's promise, you will hear the God of creation speak, or the God of this world speak. So both of them are talking. When you're going through a dry time, you will hear both of them talking. You will hear sounds from both of them. Both of them have sound. Both of them talk, but only one of them speaks. See, a baby can talk, can't they? But that doesn't mean you understand what they're saying. The devil talks, but that doesn't mean that he's speaking on your behalf. Let me give you an example. When the devil talks, he speaks the language of chaos, things just going and hell breaking all loose. He speaks deception. He lures you into thinking that this is God right here, but it really ain't. Mm-hmm. Or destruction. You got into it and now it's crumbling and it just won't work. No matter how much money you pour into it, how much time, if you stand the 10 toes down, you trying to be loyal. No, God said no. It will not work. But when God speaks, he speaks through peace that surpasses all human understanding. He speaks through purpose. He'll let you know exactly what you need to do in this life. And he always demonstrates it with power. What better display does God have towards his people than when everything is going to hell in the handbasket, there he is holding you up, sending ravens and feeding you morning and night. And when that runs out and when the contract runs out, here we go. I'm going to send a cloud the size of a man's hand in order to bring the rain. So my message to you this morning is to put it in the cloud. You know how like when you put stuff in the cloud, you put your file in the cloud, or you put a resume in the cloud at your office, and then when you get home, it's whoop, there it is. It's right there when you log in again. Well, the cloud in relation to spiritual things is the same way. See, the way that you put things in the cloud as it relates to the spirit world is through prayer. See, whenever you pray, you can pray wherever you are in the entire world, God will always hear you. Because he covers everything and he hears everything. He may not honor everything. He may not answer everything because it may be a different time and a season. But I promise you, if you keep on praying, that's like you putting it in the cloud. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36 through 40 says, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Notice how he's saying specifically that this is the God that I'm talking to. He's not saying, oh God, the God of Cognac, Cavassier, and VSOP. Let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust. In other words, when God answers, he doesn't leave anything behind. And he licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people see you being blessed, they fell on their faces. I can't believe she got a house with all them kids. I can't believe that she got a man. I can't believe that he got a job like that. I remember he was always sleeping in class. Always talking. Always getting talks excessively. I can't believe it. They've been following God so long until I unfollowed them. So when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. In other words, things are not always noticeable when everyone looks like they're doing good. It doesn't seem like God is really at work when everybody looks like they're doing good. The economy's good for everybody, the just as well as the unjust. People who don't get to come to church are making more money. They're doing good things. They're doing having the best life and all this other stuff like that. And so are you. So it doesn't really seem like God is even in the mix of it all. But I promise you that he is, because there will always be a famine. It will always be a dry time. It'll always be a season when God shakes the tree and watches who will be left over. You ever wonder how people stay successful? Just like Nas X. Oh, Lord. They snuck that by a whole bunch of people. Old Town Road. Mm-hmm. Brokeback Mountain in rap form. Snuck it by everybody. Wonderful beat, but it came out the closet. And people endorsed it and promoted it because that's the demographic that has the most money and affects the most people in this season. But what is the end of it? Because right after that video, you have another video on TV that talks about Travada. Where you can stay within your lifestyle or whatever it is, but people are dying from AIDS left and right. It's just quiet now. It's been happening for so long. Y'all all right? I be looking crazy, but I love God with all my heart. And I'll preach truth even if it is very unpopular. Amen. So God doesn't always seem like he's very noticeable. And it doesn't seem like he extends his favor when everybody else does good. However, the favor of God shows more when you stand out despite the circumstances. In other words, favor is fair. I like the, you know, that little phrase that he used to use many years ago. Favor ain't fair. Yes, it is. Because who does favor come from? God. And God is always fair. He's always righteous. He's always good. He's always loving. He's always giving. He always has integrity. And because of his favor, that will sustain you. Let me give you even a deeper truth. You see, people of God, the devil blesses also. He can also give you blessing. He can also give you peace. He can also give you the one that you want, and everything be good for a little while. For a little while. But the devil is not God. You see, the devil is a created being. And created beings have a beginning and they have an end. So that means that it won't last forever. Whatever you put in Christ will last forever. So when the devil blesses you, it seems like everything is going good and then it drops off a cliff. And you're looking around, well, what happened? I just don't understand. I just don't know. No. When God gives you and when God blesses you, he doesn't add any sorrow to it. When God blesses you, it may seem like you're about to just get kicked out, but then he'll give you a ram in the bush to help you make it just another further. So when the devil blesses, he does it temporarily because he lacks the power to sustain it, as it always leads eventually to death or destruction to the one who has it. When God blesses you, it may be a tough time. He may be working on your character. You may be like, Lord God, I don't understand why I got to deal with these people, why I got to deal with this church, why I got to deal with this daycare, why I got to deal with this ministry, why I got to deal with this husband, with this wife. But God gave you to them. And he gave them to you for a reason, for a purpose. You got to stick it out and you got to stick with it because he's trying to do something in the both of you all or whatever you got going on. He'll sustain it. So put it in the cloud. In other words, it will rain no matter how small the cloud is. The scripture says that God, through his prophet Elijah, told Elijah's servant, go out and look at the water. I know you haven't seen any rain. It looks like it's just blue skies everywhere. But there is no rain. It looks like it's nice and it's a rosy picture, but actually we're dying down here. That's just how social media is. It looks like it's all blue skies. But when you get down into the personal situation, people are dying from having a famine in the word of God and in a relationship with him. So put it in the cloud. In other words, that cloud started off as being small, the size of a man's hand. Can God do anything with that? Can God bring rain with that little small thing? Are we going to get out of this situation? Are we going to make rent this month? Or is it going to bless me, my whole mind? Is it going to bless me beyond what I'm thinking or wherever I ask? The revelation here, people of God, is that you should never despise small beginnings on the way to manifestation. This is God's progressive way to reveal his will in our lives. Let me help you with this. I'm teaching this morning. When you look at scripture, God never gives or reveals the entire intent all at once. He gives you a flash of the picture called the promise. He gives you a dream and a vision. You dream it, but it hasn't happened yet. And then he progressively over time reveals the reason why things happen. That's the reason why as children will never see the picture, parents. Why are you fussing at them in the back seat? I just don't understand this. I don't get it. They have to progressively be revealed the truth of why they're here and what their purpose is on the planet. That's the reason why as adults we understand that mama and daddy were right now. You get that? We didn't know that mom and daddy were the truth or telling the truth when we were teenagers. Or when we were earlier young adults. But it seems like they start getting really wise and really know what they're talking about the older that you get. Because God progressively reveals things to us. He doesn't give you the reason why you had to go through what you go through until sometimes the very end. Then it makes sense. So that when you go through it again, you know exactly what to expect. Why, above all things, did I have to get in the situation where I had to struggle this hard with Mr. or Mrs.? Well, sometimes God progressively reveals himself in such a hard situation on what you really need to do with your life. I'm trying to help you. You see, in the beginning, God, in the form of a cloud, covered everything. I want you to see this. This is so important. In the beginning of creation, God was everywhere. You could see him in everything. It's like when you first get saved. I see God. I see trees of green and red roses too. Everything is just nice. God blessed me tremendously. I got baptized. I saw yellow hearts, purple clovers, and green diamonds, purple horseshoes. Everything is going good. God is everywhere. But then things begin to happen. Because in the middle of your situation, the cloud covers only some things. When you go outside right now, it's partly cloudy. Partly cloudy. In other words, I can still see God, but sometimes I don't see him. Oh, Lord. The partly cloudy is actually the longest period. Because the firmament over heaven, that's been gone after sin entered into the world. So God is not in everything and he's not over everything. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that he's not condoning. He ain't with. So the period that we're in right now is partly cloudy. Sometimes God is there and he's in it, and sometimes he's not. The point is, do you recognize when he's not and when he is? Okay. And then in the end, I want you to see this. The cloud covers very little. In other words, you see a whole bunch of silence from God. But you see this one little cloud that's about this big up in the sky. Can that bring the rain? That one little small little cloud still represents the presence of God. Now I have a question for you. Is that small little cloud just as much God as the God that covered everything? Think about it. Is that small cloud just as much God as it was when it seems like he was over and covering everything? He's still covering, but he's revealing himself a little bit. In other words, that's all you need to hold on. You got that? God will always show himself strong in the very beginning of the promise. But then there's going to be a period in the middle where you're not going to always see him like how you want. And then right before you get your breakthrough, it's going to look like God is not even there. And that's what Elijah went through. He said, God said that there's not going to be no clouds. Just like you see all that blue there. And boom, here's this one particular cloud. And then that's when you have to go back into your remembrance. Oh, I remember when God promised that he was going to bring the rain in its due season, in its due time. So once again, in the beginning, the cloud covers everything. In the middle, the cloud covers some things. In the end, the cloud covers very little. Yet, because of God, it can rain at any time. At any time. So as I conclude, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 46, I'm going to move quickly here. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he crouched down on the earth and he put his face between his knees and he said to his servant, go up now and look towards your situation. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He ain't changing, Pastor Martin. She ain't changing, Pastor Martin. The people ain't supporting, Pastor Martin. The people ain't giving, Pastor Martin. The daycare is not filled up, Pastor Martin. The camp is not where it needs to be, Pastor Martin. The folk ain't singing. The folk ain't serving. The folk ain't inviting, Pastor Martin. But I see a little cloud. I got a little bit of hope. Because God has never left me, even though I don't see the full picture. Amen. Go back 7 times. In other words, it's not what you see, it's what God said. Why do I have to keep on going back to the promise? That's where hope lies. It's like the cloud of the size of a man's hand. Why do I have to keep on going back to church? Why do I have to keep on going back among his people and back as in his presence? Well, sometimes you have to do things 7 times. Let me give you the revelation of the 7 steps that sometimes the people of God have to go through when you're trying to make it through. Number one, the number one represents that there is only one God. You can't have any other idols. You can enjoy things, but you got to put them aside when God comes in the picture. I love football, but I love God more. I love my wife with all my heart, but I love God more. I love money. I love getting the bag. I love getting the guap, the cheese, the bread, but I love God more because he is the source. I love my children, but if my children don't follow God, then I'm still going to follow God. You get where I'm coming from? I love y'all, and I appreciate y'all. But if the church becomes an idol, y'all take me out of the presence of God where I want to start committing suicide, and guess what? Bye-bye, divine truth. I'm going to follow God because God does not want me to destroy myself because I got things I got to do, people I got to see, places I got to go, souls to save. It's only one God. Number two represents the divine nature of God. Number two represents divinity. We have to understand that when we're going through that, he is divine. So you have access anytime on a secure line. In other words, you can pray in the spirit. The devil can hear your prayers, but when you pray in the spirit, even in English, the devil can't get to it. The devil can't get to it. Okay, well, you're still not getting it. You're still wondering what's going on in the Snapchat. Here goes number three. He will bring things to completion. That's what the number three is. On the way home, just a couple of days ago, I was waiting on a major breakthrough to come through, and I was getting frustrated. And then I was going to drop my son off the football practice. I was getting even more agitated. And then all of a sudden, it started pouring rain. It was like it was raining cats and dogs. And I looked to the left. I looked to the right. And out of my corner of my eye, when I looked to the left again, I saw a bright, bright rainbow. But not just one, because that's regular, Pastor Martin. I actually saw two. Well, I've seen that before. No. It was not only two. I actually saw three rainbows. Three represents the number of completion. In other words, God got you. It's completed. It's done. Just wait on it. Number four, he will bring manifestation. That's what the number four means, manifestation. Sometimes when God promises you, you get sick of waiting. You get tired of waiting. And then that's when things start going awry. And that's when you constantly are being presented with two opinions. Should I follow God or follow the gods of this world? Should I listen to what God has to say through Jesus Christ, or should I do what I want to do? Number five, five represents the number of grace. God will give you grace while you wait. I was getting frustrated with some things, but then somebody posted on Facebook to me. He said, sometimes you need to grit your teeth while God gives you grace. Amen. Hallelujah. It gives you the grace to grit your teeth. Oh, I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to revert back to the old way. I'm not going to go back to the old me. I'm going to grit myself until God gives me the breakthrough. Number six. Six represents the number of man. He understands that you are human. That you are dust. And sometimes you need a sign every now and then. How many of you ever now and then need God to just show you just a little something? God, show me something right now. And for me, it was three rainbows. And the breakthrough came later on that evening. I was like, I see you, God. I see you. And that makes you feel so good. Because sometimes when you're going through a dry period, when you don't see no clouds, it can be very discouraging until you see that one thing floating up in the sky. It has just as much rain as a cloud full of clouds, a sky full of clouds. And then number seven, as I close, he is perfect. That's what the number seven represents. He is perfect, and when you are in his will, you will experience the latter rain. So in verse 44, it came about the seventh time that he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he says, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. So that means that when God does answer prayer, make sure that you prepare yourself, because that same blessing can stop you right in your tracks. Oh, Lord, I hope you get it. You want to know how Pastor Martin is blessed? Because I pray even more when the breakthrough comes. I pray even more when the overflow comes, because the overflow can carry you where you need to go. You can ride the wave, but it can also kill you and drown you. It wasn't raining. But prepare right now. God was speaking through Elijah to Ahab, prepare for the heavy showers. But there was still no rain, because all the evidence says there's one little cloud right there. I don't see it happening. There's one little cloud right there. I don't see it happening. My wife wanted a daycare for 14 years, but we had a little cloud. I wanted to be a pastor for a long time, since 2002. But God left me a little cloud. And then in 2010, poof, things opened up. But then when God gives you the blessing, when he gives you the house, when he gives you the job, that's when you need to pray more. When he gives you the spouse, sometimes you need to pray even more. Because the God that blessed you with it is the one that will help you sustain it. I was teased about Nas X, but I hope y'all know that he's going to be a one-hit wonder. Don't be a one-hit wonder when it comes to your blessings from God. Where you pray, get your breakthrough, and then you disappear. You want God to sustain you for an extended period of time. And verse 45 says, in a little while, watch this, notice the miracle here. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy, look at that, shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The ride was the wave of glory, the flood of favor, the outpouring of his presence. Open the windows of heaven, O God, that we may receive with open arms. Then, as it says in verse 46, and I'm done, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. In other words, God will accelerate his favor for you. You thought that you were left behind, but he'll actually make things go faster on your behalf. Amen. You may seem like you were waiting, everybody else is having their best life, but I promise you, all he has to do is just bless you one time, and then all of a sudden, that person who was just running, talking about, nah, nanny, boo, boo, I done laughed you, and all of a sudden, by the time they cross that finish line, you standing on the other side looking at them. I promise you that. I promise you that. There's a lot of people who are trying to race with me that were looking down their noses at me in regards to this ministry where I came from. There's a lot of people that doubt us even right now. Oh, I don't see that you guys are that qualified. You ain't got that good stuff going on. But I ignore it and I keep on moving. Because I know what God is doing in our lives, and he's been so good. I can't stop now. Gotta keep on going. You see, the small cloud. Come on, stand to your feet. And verse 44 in the Hebrew means ketchaf-ish. In other words, that cloud in scripture looked like the hollow of a man's hand. You see how my hand is cupped? It looks just like this. It's talking about the hollow or the palm of a man's hand. Not palm reading, like you going in the middle of the mall and talk about something. What's my future? No, 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 not no. What's my number one zodiac sign? No. Your identity is in Christ, not in the stars. Because you can't see the stars when it's cloudy outside. So when you look at the cloud, at this stage, it's no longer about size, but the shape. It's not about the size, how big God is moving in your life, but the shape. In other words, the things may look like they are discouraging, but as long as it's a hand, that means that God is with you. I hope you got that. The look of things may discourage you. It may seem like God ain't really moving in this situation. He seems like he's not really having a big impact in this situation. But it's not the size of what God is doing. Because God does a whole lot with very little. It's the shape. It's the form. And in this particular case, it was the hand. That means that God was with you in the beginning, the middle, and the end. Now back to putting things in the cloud. I told you before that the cloud not only holds rain and blocks out the sun, but in the scripture, it represents the hand of God. Or putting things in the cloud actually means putting things in God's hands. I hope you saw that. Prepare for the rain. And as the psalmist said, jump in the water of overflow. Amen. I hope and pray. Go ahead and put your hands together for the word this morning. It was long and strong, but I hope that you got the revelation. You might be in that middle period right now where you don't know if God is in this or not. Or you might be at the very end, right before God brings the rain, and it looks like he ain't nowhere. In other words, it looks like the amount that God is with you is so small and so insignificant, they don't feel like he's doing anything for you. But keep on holding on. Pray. That's how you put things in the cloud. Pray. That's how you put things in the cloud. Pray. That's how you put things in the cloud. The cloud was the size of a man's hand. So in other words, put it in God. Pray and put it in God's hands. Follow God. Because he has the whole world in his hands. I hope you get that. I hope you get that. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord God, and we honor you. As the hour progresses, Lord God, and as people begin to shift their minds to other things, let them never forget to put you first. Sustain us, Lord God, as you bring the rain. Send your overflow, but let us prepare for your overflow. You're with us through every stage of our lives, Lord God. Let us celebrate you, whether it's good times or bad times. Let us serve you, whether it's good times or bad times. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. And I pray a spirit of encouragement over every vessel under the sound of my voice that may be in the middle of through. You can go through it. You can make it. You can do it. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't give in. God will bring the rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Put it in the cloud. I'm trying to tell you. Put it in the cloud. Put it all in God's hands. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you.